There is increasing concern over the fate of a group of Eritrean refugees being held hostage by Bedouin people traffickers in the Sinai Desert. The Eritreans are part of a much larger group of refugees and asylum seekers from Sudan, Somalia, and Ethiopia who have been imprisoned for over a month in degrading conditions. Last week, during his Sunday Angelus, Pope Benedict took the opportunity to call for the hostages to be released. Lydia O'Kane spoke to Christian Solidarity Worldwide's advocacy officer for Sub-Saharan Africa, Dr. Katadza Gondwe, who says there are reports that 100 of the 250 Eritrean refugees have been moved.
Perhaps you could start by telling us the concerns that you have about what's going on in this situation.
Well, our concerns are that there's a large group of refugees, Eritreans and Ethiopians, Somalis and also Sudanese, who have been held for some considerable time in the Sinai Desert by people traffickers, Bedouin people traffickers. They've been trying to get to Israel, but they've been held in this facility, and particularly the Eritreans have been singled out and tortured for extra money, $10,000, before they'll be released, and they're being treated in the most appalling way. There's been a lot of publicity, and particularly since last week the Pope spoke up about it. And suddenly there was a flurry of activity, which hadn't been happening before, despite all of our lobbying efforts. And Egypt said that it was working round the clock to identify where these people were being held, which was a bit disingenuous. One of the agencies with which we did a joint appeal managed to identify exactly the location, handed this information to all the necessary authorities, and also began a court case in Cairo against named traffickers. At this point, I think the traffickers panicked. And what we learned on Thursday night was that the refugees, particularly the Eritreans, were being beaten because no money was coming. And also when they were trying to read the Bible and some other religious texts to comfort themselves, these were seized from them, torn up. A Bible was torn up, and so were these religious texts. And they were beginning to be separated that night. And by the morning, we heard that a group of 100 had been taken away. Now, the fear is that there's a tendency to swap groups between trafficking syndicates, and these people may have been sold on so that they cannot be found. These may be the ones who they think there's more of a prospect of getting money from, I'm not sure, or less of a prospect. So we're very worried about what will happen to them. We also know that there's a tendency to harvest people's organs for money. So we're not sure what's happening to them, but it's a very concerning thing that they've been moved on.
This exploitation of asylum seekers from the Horn of Africa, it seems to be an ongoing problem.
Oh, definitely. Because of the human rights crises in the area, people are fleeing to wherever they can find safety. So you have several ongoing problems in the Horn of Africa. You have the situation in Darfur. So you have Darfuri people fleeing. You have Somalia, you know, that is a now failed state. And you have Somalis fleeing to places. And then there is Eritrea, which is probably one of the most repressive countries in Africa to date. And the Eritrean people are fleeing for safety. And the difference with the Eritreans, I would say, is that there is a UNHCR advisory that says that the majority of Eritreans are automatically to be assumed to be refugees because they are fleeing well-founded persecution, be it political or religious. So this is an exceptional ruling because of the special circumstances of Eritrea. So the Eritreans that are being held are people who are bona fide refugees under this definition. And there should be much more international action to rescue them, not to say that the others shouldn't be rescued too, because the whole situation should not be happening. We're talking about organized crime on a very large level taking place in these areas, not just in the Sinai, but also in Sudan and in Libya, because these groups are all linked to each other, and they are the ones who are profiting from these poor, unfortunate people.
Do you think the Egyptian government is really doing enough?
I have to be honest and say no. I think that the Egyptian government is more than aware that this is going on in its borders. just from past form of its own treatment of refugees within its borders. For example, Eritreans there are in jail. These are people fleeing persecution. They've been jailed. They're treated horribly. They're starved of food. There's one point when somebody was told, when they weren't allowed out for fresh air, well, you don't deserve fresh air, you're a Christian, even though some Eritreans are Muslim. And there's just real brutalization of them in jail and in Egypt generally. And there was one point in 2008 where Egypt forcibly returned several hundred refugees to Eritrea and to definite mistreatment. So I don't think a government who can treat the refugees that it does get its hands on like will be one that will be working that hard to rescue these ones. And I think it's only international pressure and direct intervention, particularly with the president, that will facilitate the release of these people.
You were talking about the Pope's appeal last week. Obviously, his voice can have an enormous benefit to a situation like this, where it can really publicize a situation that's very desperate.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I think that is what shifted things, really, because he spoke up on something that has been going on for a while, but people have tended to ignore. It's no longer hidden now. And from there, things, you know, efforts could be regalvanized. Because, I mean, we've been campaigning and trying to get through to people on this for several weeks. Not just CSW, but a lot of other organizations also. And we were getting disbelief. We were getting questioning. Are you sure? Are you this? Are you that? And, you know, these are with key officials and, you know, international officials. So with the Pope speaking up, I think that really you had a credible authoritative international voice actually saying, this is a situation. And others now fell into line. Suddenly the press was speaking. Suddenly even the UNHCR releases, a press release on it. And everything sort of started to snowball from there, which is great. We really appreciate the publicity and thank God that the Pope spoke up. However, what is needed is the action to free these people.